is now on the Louis Belina Show, and lunchtime is thanks to Rudy's Barbecue. Coming up, 12:35, part one of our listen-in, Greg McElroy's Always College Football. You might feel like, wait, Lude, you know, like, is he your best friend? We listen in. He just has, I love his view of college football, where he does the hardcore analysis. He has the coaches, but he also just loves the sport. And, you know, this listen-in is the top 35 things that we, he didn't say him, he said we love about college football. It's beautiful. It's, and A&M made the list. What about A&M? You'll find out, trust me. But we're going to have part one at 12:35. We'll listen in to Greg McElroy. It is really fantastic. I'm taking your text messages. You know, I asked the question of the right now, kind of about tailgating, because we're going to talk about best college tailgates. It's one of the most classic off-season conversations ever, ever. But it's not just random. I'll explain. And if you want to text and share tailgate experience, best, worst, favorite, I mean, do you even tailgate? I've shared how I get to tailgate almost never and love, and maybe it's because it's almost never. There's no boringness. I'm usually working. You know, I'm on sports radio, and I was a reporter, and I've been a stringer, and, you know, I watch the game, so I can't just, you know, woohoo before the game, each and every, at least the home games, minimum. And then on the road games, unless you go, there's a lot of tailgate happening in town. I'm also a big fan of back porch gates and grill gates, which aren't quite tailgates. You got me a friend who said they're going to grill and you want to come over, and then you end up with four to no more than like 8 to 10 people. I'm down for a grill gate each and any day. I'll bring the beer if you're grilling. So I'm a big tailgate fan. You know, Joni in College Station texted, by the way, all of your text messages Monday through Friday, 11 to 2, pop up in the Texas Mobile One Lube Express inbox. Texas Mobile One Lube Express, owned by Gabriel Garcia. And Joni, you've texted me often, and I love your text messaging. There's a pureness of sports enthusiasm. And the second I saw it was Joni in CS, because that's what we have listed for, I knew exactly where she was going with it. It says, Louie, that's me. Packers tailgate. Nothing like brats on a grill in the shadow of Lambeau. Joni, that's one of those Holy Land moments that I've been praying, wanting, left on my sports bucket list. My music bucket list, the only thing left is Bruce Springsteen. My sports bucket list, I'm trying to think. I'd have to maybe do it from scratch. I don't know if there's five things left on it. But one of them is to go to like a Wisconsin game on Saturday and tailgate in Madison, Wisconsin and go to the Badgers game. And then go to the Packers game on Sunday and tailgate Packers. That doubleheader is left on my sports bucket list. And go to, again, golf, not the President's Cup, the Ryder's Cup, international though, not U.S. That's on my sports bucket list too. 979-693. But Joni, I know you were going Packers tailgate. And that's, okay, that's where the grill gate and the friends gate comes in. For a good period of time, I would drive out in the country, because this is back when the NFL ticket only on the dish, the only people that had dishes lived in the country, no one in the city had a dish. And to watch Packers games, me and, one of my three best friends, John, rest in peace, we drive out to Big Daddy Vic's house in the country to watch the Packers game on the dish. And Vic would be grilling brats all day long. I mean, it was nuts. I mean, I don't know if any 50 human beings could eat all the brats, but we tried. Because it was usually the Packers game. It didn't matter if it was noon and three plus the other game. It's a nice little 6-7 hour chunk of time eating brats, watching football with friends, enjoying cold beer. Friendgate. Those are great memories. They are really incredible memories. Just the drive out there with John. I mean, look, Vic didn't live in the middle of nowhere, but you had to remember, take a ride at the Black Cat, take a left at the Barking Dog. You're going to go down this dirt road, then take a left on the mud road. And I'm like, what did you just say? Great times, though. 979-693-1150. Jarrett said, oh, okay. With the emergence of AI, artificial intelligence, who will be the first coach to use it for play calling and play design? My guess would be Lane Kiffin, question mark. Why would you question yourself? You said my guess would be Lane Kiffin, question mark. You just questioned your own thought. You could say my guess is Lane Kiffin, or you just did, and it can stand without a question mark. It's a good guess. I have no beef with that guess. Don't question your own guess. Will be interesting to see how and when it creeps into sports. I am fascinated by that. I think of all sports, baseball is the most analytical, numerical, call it what you want, right? So in my universe, I think somehow AI, GPT, will invade baseball first. And I don't know the application, but baseball is the one that robots seem most likely to invade, including a robo-ump. And I pray and hope that robo-ump takes his place. So a brief sampling, a dabbling inside the Texas Mobile and Lube Express inbox. Tailgates. Got a list of the best college football tailgates. I think the list belonged to 247. I mentioned there's certain off-season things that, well, it's part of the off-season, and they're fun. I say every time it comes up, my oh my, how far A&M's come in the tailgating universe. I remember when there was none. I remember when there was some. And then I just remember when it started to grow kind of organically. I don't know if it was exposure to other schools that did it, or people just started. I call it the joy of tailgating. One problem, which I realized back when there was little tailgating here, I think it's a lot easier to tailgate in the Midwest, East and West Coast, than anywhere in Texas, because in September in Texas, it's still too dang hot. I mean, do you want to have your clothes sweat through before you go to the game to sweat out another 10 pounds? So I kind of understood. I also didn't think it was good or bad. A&M is a school of traditions, and since they didn't tailgate in 1525, why would we tailgate in 1991? I respect all of it. But A&M has come so far. A&M has a beautiful tailgating scene. Texas A&M University, Texas A&M Athletics has done a really great job of wanting to draw you on campus before, which leads to tailgating, and at least you'll see it and want to maybe step into it yourself. Even though it's really weird, I think that A&M University, Texas A&M Athletics used to do a lot better of drawing you on campus early. All that Zone Plaza stuff, you know, there used to be bands and they used to bring in events. It was glorious. I thought it was a fantastic idea, but due to the want of commercialization, I don't know if I see half the people when I get to make my way through there, and other people have talked to me about this like you used to. Because the Zone Plaza used to have the free stuff to draw you into the pay stuff, but the whole point was just to get you on campus, and then you'd go to the MSC and spend money, or the vendors that came out there and spend money. But now everything out there is pay, and no one's going to show up to a pay area just to pay. You gotta trap them with the free stuff, the cool stuff. And my understanding and what I've seen myself, that's just not true anymore. And again, people used to be there way early because free face painting, the Heisman campaign events there. And just there's more to do than just spend money. But you take the other side of the stadium, the statues and everything, gorgeous. Now, A&M tailgating did not make the top 10 list. The SEC, where it just means more, was 5 of the top 10. Is there any list ranking other than sucking that you could do college football and the SEC would not dominate it? I think the answer is no. Anything involving positive, good, greatness, success, cool, and it's college football, the SEC will dominate that list. LSU is 1. Alabama's 2. Georgia is 4. That's 3 of the top 4 tailgates in the country belong to the SEC. Florida is 6. Ole Miss is 7. And folks, that's your 5. 5 of the top 7 are from the SEC. Now, I know why LSU tailgating is one of the top this year, the top. If you've never been, it is like being at the zoo. The smells, the colors, the drunks. It's intoxicating. It's glorious. You just don't want to be a visitor there. Alabama, I have no clue. Maybe it's strength in numbers. I've never heard of anything unique, special for Alabama tailgating. I don't know how it got the number 2 spot. Georgia is the most different, unique vibe in the SEC. I could see their tailgates just being cool as heck. I could see Georgia having a great tailgate scene. Everything Florida tends to be pretty cool. There's something about having gorgeous weather like 9 months out of the year. The Florida student body is predisposed towards partying anyway. So I get where the Florida tailgate scene, and they actually have live gators all over the place. The Ole Miss one is the most fascinating one. The Grove, the Grove, the Grove, the Grove, the Grove, 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 Grove. But, and this is Aggies. Everyone that's went, not one person has come back and said, Lou. And I go, what? It's better. It's great. The Grove is true. Like every Aggie that's ever spoke to me and texted me, the Grove is the most overrated thing they've ever experienced. Notre Dame, at Notre Dame, not just the tailgating, but all of it. I know a lot of Aggies found themselves underwhelmed with that trip too. But anyway, back to the Grove. And how do you make, you know, you wonder, has the person making the list bend all 10 of these in the top of the list one? Because they put Notre Dame at 8. And you heard what I just said. Aggies that went there walked away unimpressed. So 3 of these. I'm trying to think. Yeah, if you're an Aggie, conference play plus non-conference, you could have went to 8 of these 10 and, you know, kind of got a slice of that pie yourself. Text me really about anything. Tailgating experiences, best of, worst of for your own. Text me whatever's on your mind. I'll be right back. This is the Louis Belina Show from inside the Charles Schwab studio. Myself to give up on the past because I've frozen time between hearses and caskets. Lost control when I panicked at the acid test. I want to get better. I got a tip, a piece of advice, a recommendation. I want to help you. Download the Smoothie King app today and then become a Smoothie King Rewards member. You'll start earning points towards money off future smoothies and free upsize Friday. Healthy reward members can upsize any 20-ounce to a 32-ounce smoothie for free on Fridays, every single Friday. Download the app and become a Smoothie King Rewards member today. We're at lunchtime on the Louis Belina Show. I got food. I got barbecue stuck in my head, but because I think in a tailgating and, you know, over the years of tailgating, the food is regional. Here, Texas, that means barbecue. It could be more than, not just. And you know what? If I go to a tailgate and it's just barbecue and hot dogs, you have never heard me complain. I do say I do very much so want to grill at my tailgate. I know a lot of people bring food. That's fine, too. I don't have any rules of definition of a gathering of friends on site kind of thing. Prefer liquid, you know, but it, tailgating, you know, I've used phrases like home gate, porch gate, friend gate. A tailgate to me has to take place around the park, you know, on campus, not at the home. That's the whole, for me, you can't tailgate at home. Just call it a home gate, back porch gate, and there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, okay, I got a lot of people texting me barbecue. A matter of fact, one just the word barbecue. And right now, you give me a full rack of Bryce Jones and the Smoking Aces barbecue competition team ribs. Best ribs I've ever had. I'm not a joke, not because Bryce is a friend, but that's just truth. Give me a full rack of ribs. Okay, and then some moist brisket. Lou, got to move on mentally. Landon texted and said, Mississippi State is not good or welcoming. Then top it off with those bells. Trash. Landon was not impressed with the Mississippi State tailgating scene. Look, I'm trying to break myself of old rants, okay? They're hard because they're a part of who you are and what you believe. Starkville is the most appropriately a named town I've ever been to. It's a ville. It's not a city. It is Stark. I think a third of the places are abandoned. What is there? There's a sign right at the city limits. Abandon hope, all ye that enter. I probably just imagined that part. I think the rest of it's 100% true. But there might have been. You don't know. I just, nothing about Starkville. And then the whole Stark Vegas thing is like the irony. And I wonder if they get it. Because I think the actual people, the fans of Mississippi State, say Stark Vegas with a serious face. Like they mean how awesome we are with Stark Vegas. And they don't get the irony of being from Starkville and thinking Stark Vegas will fly. It's horrific. So I got to imagine their tailgating would be depressing and worthless too. I don't know how it wouldn't be, right? Marshall and Brian, if you tailgate by a lake or ocean, is that a Watergate? Thank you, Marshall and Brian. Anybody can text about anything and light up the Texas Mobile One Lube Express inbox. We used to tailgate by the lake all the time. Growing up as a kid, that was our summer thing and vacation thing because, you know, we didn't have money. Always said, we're not poor. I always thought we were poor. You know, growing up, when you grow up, a lot of your memories of youth are, you know, kind of screwed up because you were a kid at the time and you're looking back. Poor is when you can't pay the bills. We were always able to pay the bills. We just didn't have much, minimal, almost nothing left. We're the getting by kind of broke. Broke is better than poor. Had everything we needed, didn't have a lot that you might want. So trips, family, vacation, all that. State parks are free. Most stuff on water free. So we did tons. Love water growing up. And we would tend to cook, you know, when we were wherever we were, whatever Lake Possum, Lake Kingdom, all the different places you could go. And yeah, just funny you say by the water. That's part of the fun of my family, what we did summers, celebrated and enjoyed. Back to college football. Sorry, I was reminiscing about my life. I apologize. I love these kind of getting ready for the upcoming season. I love these kind of list conversations, call it what you want. But who are the quarterbacks that with this year, if they break out, explode next level, follow their learning, you know, projection curve they've been on, who can play themselves into the first round of the NFL draft? College football quarterbacks who can play themselves. And it happens every year. I mean, A, NFL teams reach way too much for quarterbacks in the first round. And B, there's just players that reach their final form that break out that way. So which college quarterbacks? I really wish I could also remember who gave the list. Was it Saturday Down South? I think so. No, CBSSports.com. Thank you. I'm not really thanking anyone. I just remembered it. But that's who. Here are some of the names. Jaden Daniels, LSU. And here's where I will give full credit to. Jaden Daniels, if you take a look at that first game or the first month and then where he finished, the amount of progress he made in that last season at LSU, where everybody's year one, because it was year one of Brian Kelly and year one of the coaching staff, and he was a transfer, so he was year one with those players. If they can do that in that amount of time, and now they've had a whole nother offseason, and they keep coaching him, right? I get it now. That I could see that. I get it. So, Jaden Daniels, quarterback, college, that could play his way into the first round this year. Joe Milton at Tennessee. No. I put an X by that one. J.J. McCarthy at Michigan. I agree with that. Him coming back was brilliant. And if he leads them, you know, back to the college football playoff, he's one of, you know, a dying breed, pro-style type quarterback. Yeah, I agree with that. Spencer Rattler at South Carolina. I think it's a stretch. But if the last month Spencer Rattler is at least the starting point, and then he does get better from there, because last season Spencer Rattler started horribly at South Carolina. And I do remember end of first month debating, talking to SC people when A&M was going to play it, like, how much longer are they going to try Spencer Rattler? And then the last month, he became the quarterback up to his high school rating and others' expectations. A couple more, one of them specifically, but DJ Uiagalelei, Oregon State. Hey, that used to be the Clemson quarterback. Yes. He's the highest rated quarterback that the Oregon State head coach, Jonathan Smith, has ever worked with in his coaching career. He's getting a fresh start. No more microscope for him. He was at one point as talented as anybody in college football. It seems like things just destroyed him there at Clemson. And here's the last name. Jordan Travis, Florida State, and here's the last name, and it sticks out to me for a reason. Tyler Van Dyke, Miami. How many people remember Tyler Van Dyke, start of last year, Tyler Van Dyke heading into the A&M game? This is a kid that was going to leave early and go in the NFL draft. Tyler Van Dyke turned down this fat NIL deal from Alabama this offseason to go back to Miami. Allegedly, rumors have it. Miami's going to make him rich. And he passed up the NIL deal. Tyler Van Dyke was like the number six quarterback in college football entering last season. And he was he was as big a bust, and you're going to hate me for saying this, as A&M was to the number six ranking. You know, they finished unranked in 5-7, right? Is what Tyler Van Dyke was to his, like, number six ranking. He just had that bad of a year. So, if he's reset, Miami's figured out him, them, their group, and he can be that guy, then yes, I get why Tyler Van Dyke makes the list, and A&M is going to play him again. But, man, when you talk about a bust, wow. He had a bust of a season, did Tyler Van Dyke, where Jaden Daniels went the other way. He started off, and I'm like, that's what they brought in? And then the end of the year, I know A&M beat him. I watched it. We talked about it. But Jaden Daniels came a long way. Let's grab a timeout. This is the Louis Belina Show from inside. Yeah, I'm looking around. It's comfortable. I enjoy it. The Charles Schwab Studio. Presented by B&B Automotive and Superior Auto Service. Two remarkable businesses. One great family. Time now. Listen in. This is awesome. If you're a college football fan, this is just kick back, close your eyes, and listen time. Unless you're driving. Like, if you're in your car, don't close your eyes. Greg McElroy, on his latest Always Be College Football podcast, talked about the top 35 things that we love about college football. Here's part one of our listen-in.
Let's start with the lifestyle division of things that we love most about college football. Let's start with number one, short slogans. Okay, short slogans. Now, these are kind of, in a way in which you say aloha on the Hawaiian Islands, that's kind of what these have become, depending on where it is that you live. So, for instance, you say hook 'em. Yeah, that's a short slogan. Maybe you say hook 'em, hey, like, hey, hook 'em, what's up? Like, you say hello to people. Roll Tide, gig 'em, woo pig, go blue, hottie toddy, OH, go Pokes. You name, like, they're like short slogans in college football. It immediately, in a very, very short two-word increment, connects people from all walks of life. Short slogans is number one. Number two, simple traditional uniforms. Now, some people like the extravagance. More on them in just a minute. But simple traditional uniforms. When I turn on the TV and I see that uniform color combination, I know exactly who that is. Now, there are variations that are pretty cool. Like when Ohio State wears black, it's pretty cool. But guess what? I don't love it. It's okay. It's cool. I don't love it. It's okay. But traditional uniforms, the Bamas, the Georgias, the Ohio States, the LSUs, the Texas, the Oklahomas, the Michigans, the Texas A&Ms, the USCs, the Notre Dames, those are what I love most about college football. The traditionals where the kit has the kit is unchanged over the course of a generation or more. And it's synonymous with the university itself. Number two, simple traditional uniforms. Number three, going within the simple traditional uniforms, the Golden Dome of Notre Dame. That simple, golden, 24-karat flaked gold helmet, to me, is perfection. Probably because I grew up watching Rudy, like all of you, and Rudy wanted to spray paint the helmets before the game when he was part of the pep rally club or whatever the heck it was. Like, I love the Golden Dome. And to see those things in person, to see how they sparkle under a perfect autumn afternoon is a really cool thing. Is it my favorite helmet? Arguably, perhaps. If it's not number one, it's certainly in the top two or three. But the Golden Dome of Notre Dame, those golden helmets would be number three. At number four, the Ohio State Buckeye, the actual Buckeye sticker. Now, the tradition goes back to 1967 and 68 when the Buckeyes switched to silver helmets. Now, Woody Hayes started rewarding the players for making big-time plays with that Buckeye Leaf sticker that they placed on the helmet. And I always thought to myself, man, how cool would it be to race amongst your teammates to see who can fill up their helmet the fastest with the Buckeye sticker. It's unique, it's traditional, and I think it's just one of the coolest traditions there is in the sport. Number five, Oregon's uniform combinations. Now, I know a lot of different programs have different uniform combinations, but Oregon, to me, they're the only one that actually makes it appropriate. Now, I won't necessarily go down the rabbit hole that was the 2015 national championship game, where Oregon, their colors are yellow and green, right? That's Oregon's colors. Like, that's the Joey Harrington helmet with the O is what I grew up with, I guess, to a certain extent. But when they went out there in the championship game, they didn't wear one speck of green or yellow. Didn't make any sense to me. They went with silver and white, but either way, they looked pretty clean to begin with. Oregon's uniform combinations is pretty neat. I kind of feel forced to put this on here because I want to appeal slightly to a younger audience, and the swag game is important, but at the same time, it's not the end all be all. Still love the fact that Oregon was the first and will continue to have the million different combinations of uniforms on a year in, year out basis. All right. That sums up kind of the lifestyle portion of the 35 things that we love. Moving on to the music portion. And at first, I didn't anticipate music being such a big part of this list. But as I got down the rabbit hole, I realized just how important a specific song or an aspect of your game day experience is when listening to a piece of music. So this is the music portion of the 35 things that we love about college football. Number 6, the bands. Need I say more? And I remember vividly being in stadiums during the 2020 year in the Big Ten when there was nobody there. And I remember how empty it felt, not because there were no fans. And I remember going to certain places and they were half full or a quarter full, whatever the circumstances may be. It wasn't the crowd noise that made it feel just eerily quiet. It was the lack of that big band presence. And I think about some of the great bands in the land, whether it be, you know, the world's largest drum with Purdue. The Longhorns obviously claimed that gigantic drum too, but Purdue beat them to the punch back in the day. The best damn band in the land at Ohio State, Spear of Troy. The Sonic Boom of the South at Jackson State. The Fighting Texas Aggie Band. The Golden Band from Tigerland at LSU. The Million Dollar Band in Tuscaloosa. Like, all those bands to me, first of all, I know how hard band members work. And I remember in college as a player, I remember we would be driving first thing in the morning to one of our two-a-day practices, and I'd drive by the Million Dollar Band Stadium right there off University and Bryan. It's right in between the two. You can't miss it. You take a look. They're out there practicing before we were practicing, and then we'd go home that night, and they were still out there practicing when we were done for the day. Bands work their tails off, and they are synonymous with college football. And while we do have some band presence in the NFL, the Baltimore Ravens have a band. There's a couple other teams that have bands. It's not like college. That sets us apart. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate the bands and what they mean to the game and to the game day experience across the entire country. Specifically within the bands, let's go to the dotting of the I. That's number 7. Dating back to 1936, dotting of the I by the best damn band in the land is probably one of the biggest honors you can have in college football. Obviously, the Script Ohio, how they do that without tripping over themselves. I still, every time I call an Ohio State game, I make it a point to stand and watch how they do that. I don't know how they do it. I've never quite figured it out, but it is a modern marvel how they can perfectly synchronize every single member of the band to do that cursive O-H-I-O. It's so awesome to watch that, to think just how important it is to get that opportunity to go dot the I, and knowing that there have been some legendary people that have dotted the I before you is a pretty cool aspect. That's why it comes in at number 7. At number 8, why would I do something for Ohio State if I don't do something for the Michigan Wolverines? I think Hail to the Victors is the best fight song in the country. Now, everybody might feel a little bit differently, but Hail to the Victors is my number 1. Just, it feels collegial. Now, Notre Dame would be in the mix. There'd be a few others that would be in the mix, but Hail to the Victors, to me, is about as good as it gets. It's catchy. It gets stuck in my head every time I call a Michigan game, and I think it's one of the great staples of college football, probably dating back to when I was playing NCAA football on PlayStation or Xbox, whatever the heck I was playing it on. I feel like Hail to the Victors was always the first song up when I was selecting my team and selecting my uniforms and all those other aspects. So Hail to the Victors. That is number 8. Number 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13, and 14 are all specific songs that are synonymous with a university and or a moment within a game at the university. Let's start with number 9, Take Me Home, Country Roads. When you go and you are in Morgantown for a game, it's pretty cool when they all start singing in unison the John Denver Classic from 1971, and knowing that the Mountaineers have adopted that as their official song, you can hear it now at every single home game. It's just, you can't wait to hear that song when you're standing there in the stadium in Morgantown. That's number 9. Number 10, Colin Baton Rouge in Tiger Stadium. And when you hear over the PA, you hear the sun has set in the western sky. It is now nighttime in Death Valley. And then all of a sudden, da, 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 da. It's one of the coolest things you'll ever possibly find. And then they back it up like one thing after da, 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 da. Everything about an LSU home game is in the mix. But Colin Baton Rouge comes in at number 10 because I love Garth Brooks. And I think that is just one of the coolest things because the entire stadium is singing it at the top of their lungs. It's phenomenal. At number 11, Sweet Home Alabama. Obviously, look, I'm a Bama guy. Shouldn't really surprise you. But after they get done announcing the starting lineups, there's a brief pause. Just a brief pause, maybe a two-second pause. And all of a sudden, then every single person in the stands with their pom-poms going up like crazy and singing Sweet Home Alabama, Roll Tide Roll, Where the Skies Are So Blue, all the other things, and having the chorus that go along with it is phenomenal. Now, other people would say Dixieland Delight with Alabama. Other people might say Rama Jamma with Alabama. Both are terrific. They're awesome. I think they're terrific traditions. But to me, when Lynyrd Skynyrd's Sweet Home Alabama comes over the PA right before a big game after the starting lineups are announced, it means it's go time, man. Let's get it going and ramp it up a little bit. At number 12, Sandstorm at South Carolina. Now, Sandstorm at South Carolina is one of those songs where you really never want to hear it again unless you're in Williams-Brice. It's the only place where I ever want to hear Sandstorm. I'm not really into the techno stuff. It's not really my thing. But I'd be remiss if I didn't see people going absolutely bananas every time you're the da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, and then it, you know, kind of ramps down, and then boom, everyone loses their mind. It's really a cool moment in a Williams-Rice Stadium. I think it's one of those things that you have to experience as a college football fan. Super, super cool, and one that you absolutely have to take in. That comes in at number 12. At number 13, Wisconsin's Jump Around. Now, I look at House of Pain's catalog and Jump Around, you could say this is a song. You could say it's a moment in the game where everyone's just going absolutely crazy there before the fourth quarter. But when everyone's just jumping out of control in the middle of the game, I didn't know if it was more of a moment or more of the song, but I kind of just decided to keep it in the music portion because it's so synonymous with the music. All right. There'll be others that come up here a little bit later on the list, like a stadium entrance, that are synonymous with music as well. But to me, Jump Around could have gone in either direction. I decided to keep it here in the music portion of our list. It comes in at number 13. And then at 14, Rocky Top. Okay, Rocky Top. When you play Tennessee, and when we played Tennessee, the weight room, the entire week that you were going into the weight room to work out, you're listening to Rocky Top on repeat. It's the only song that was played in the entire building for a six-day period. From Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You didn't lift on Friday. Some of the guys did. We didn't. You're listening to Rocky Top on repeat. You can't get your workout done fast enough. But as I've gotten older, I've started to realize and appreciate just how often they play that song. Of course, it started being played there in Neyland Stadium back in the 1970s. And it's really cool to be a part of it, especially as Tennessee is starting to get rolling again. All right, that's the music portion of being in the stadium and the in-stadium experience. But at number 15, also in the music portion, there's very little that feels more collegial than hearing CBS at 3:30 Eastern time with Vern and Gary, and recently with Brad and Gary, and this song, Strikes Up. And then I go back to my childhood, back when I turn on ABC and you get to listen to Keith Jackson. And next thing you know, you're hearing this song as things are beginning to ramp up within the stadium. And then moving forward just a little bit more throughout my high school years and my college years, this song that is closely associated, obviously, with the BCS era of college football, it's tough to beat this song as well. So at number 15, TV music is about as good as it gets. Because not all of us can be in the stadium. Not all of us can appreciate that of the actual atmosphere itself. But I'll tell you what, the second I hear those jingles with CBS and ABC and Fox, and even in the NFL with NBC Sunday Night Football, the dun 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 dun, dun. I mean, there's something about knowing that big thing is going to go down. And I know that when I hear the first couple notes of those individual tracks, I know we're off to the races with something special for the next 4 hours. All right, moving on to the tailgate portion. This isn't as much as I originally thought. I thought tailgating would be a far larger part of one of the reasons why I love college football, but I actually was able to kind of limit it to just a couple of examples in which it's unique. Let's start with the Grove. That's at number 16. Shouldn't really require a whole lot of explanation. Anyone that's ever been to Oxford, Mississippi knows that if you walk onto the Grove prior to the game, it's one of the great experiences you've ever seen. Now, they always famously say they might lose the game, but they'll never lose a party. I would maybe say that LSU fans might have something to say about that, but something not necessarily a competition we need to judge at this moment. But when there are actual crystal chandeliers hanging from pop-up tents, it tells you that people have clearly gone all out. Just do me a favor the next time you're in Oxford, Mississippi prior to a game, take 30 minutes and do a lap around the Grove. You'll thank me later. At number 17, I actually combined these two because I felt like it was a unique tailgating experience. The Vol Navy and the Washington Water tailgating. Now, let's start with the Vol Navy. 1962, George Mooney, who was the Vols broadcaster at that point, is tired of just trying to battle traffic en route to the game. So instead, he decided to take his boat to Neyland Stadium. Next thing you know, it led to the adoption of the Vol Navy, and the rest is history. The Washington Huskies have a very similar tradition. Now, fans rally outside Husky Stadium in boats, almost 1,000, by the way, at times outside the Great Northwest there. And it's become very common for people to just go and park their boat for a 3-day period throughout the course of a Washington home game. So I guess water tailgating in both at both Knoxville, Tennessee, and in Seattle, Washington, would lead to it being number 17. Let's go next to the mascot portion of why we love college football. A few in particular that you kind of love. All right. One, live mascots. That's number 18. Ugga, Smokey, Bevo, Mike the Tiger. There's a million of them. Okay. A million live mascots across the board. Absolutely love them. At number 19, Ralphie gets its own piece of the pie. How often are you seeing a buffalo that's 400 pounds running on the field at 25 miles an hour? Right, to me, seems crazy, but it is one of the cooler traditions in college football. I love Ralphie. That's why she, believe it or not, comes in at number 19. So Ralphie, gotta love it.
That is part one of our listen-in. Greg McElroy, Always College Football, his top 35 things that we love about college football. And when we listen at 1:35 to the rest of what he had to say, he starts off with something very specific. It's A&M. He asks a question, and he explains why he loves it. It made his list. He starts off Texas A&M. 1:35, we'll hear the rest of what he had to say. We'll step aside, come back. We'll wrap up lunchtime. Lunchtime is thanks to Rudy's Barbecue. In our final hour, the 1 o'clock hour of the Louis Belina Show from inside the Charles Schwab studio. We got part two of our listen in, the top 35 things we love about college football. That's 1:35. Astros, Rangers, got to talk about them. And definitely, definitely more of your text messages from inside the Texas Mobile One Lube Express inbox. Today's been very much a text message kind of day. I've asked for your tailgating yes or no, and if yes, kind of your best tailgating experience. There's been a lot of different things we've talked about. This has been a hangout, let's celebrate college football kind of day and more. I'll be right back. We got the news next. I'll see you 105.
Questions, comments, or opinions about anything and everything and all things The Zone. Send your emails to Louie at BrianBroadcasting.com. That's Louie at BrianBroadcasting.com.